And so we're going to also spend maybe one or two lessons, and this is all pertaining to in Him we have. In Christ we have redemption. We said in Him we have righteousness. In Him we have healing. In Him we are complete. And today I want to just talk about in Him we have the love of God. And I want to talk just a little bit about the love of God. Let us look at the scripture, because love is the greatest thing. You know, we talk about faith, but Brother Hagin used to say this, a step out of love is a step out of God. You step away from God, you're stepping out of love. A step out of love is a step out of faith. And so we need to just look again and remind ourselves of what we have and the importance of the love of God. You know, I was sharing something with Pastor Greg recently, and it just came up in my spirit, and I said, well, I'm going to share this with him. Because, you know, a lot of times we get focused on ourselves. We get focused on stuff that's happening to us, things we're walking through, things we're experiencing. Remember, it's not about you. You no longer live, but it's Christ in you. And I said to him, I said, you know, the things that Apostle Mike Key shared, I said, let's look at this and step back and look at a bigger, broader picture. And the Holy Ghost kept saying that the prayers that are going forth by the prayer team and the time of prayer on Wednesday, Apostle Mike said that God has assigned us as a forward fire base. And I said, when you start doing things that have an impact in the kingdom of darkness, he's going to push back. There's going to be some things that will come and try to disrupt. And I said, we need to be conscious of that. Now, if you opened a door up, okay, that's always a possibility. Close it. That's a simple thing. You're a spirit. If you missed it, you already know it. A lot of times people know it and they're just like, I want to hold on to this. Well, then you're dumb and just being carnal. But if you've opened a door, close it. But I can tell you one thing, that one of the things, and I don't have that book here with me today, but that book by John A. McMillan, The Authority of the Believer, he talks about in there the purpose of the church is to depose and to bring down these rulers of darkness that have held control over areas. They already are defeated. Christ defeated them. He said in Matthew, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. And he spoiled in Colossians, he spoiled principalities and powers, made an open show of them. Do you ever think about this? When it says that Christ became sin for us, do you realize that when he became sin, he became in union with Satan? Ooh, that even with saying that makes me go, ooh. When he became sin, when you received eternal life, you came in union with Christ. When he became sin, he came into union with Satan. He took our place. He became sin. and all of its facets. But Jesus did what? When sin was paid for, that's why he was able to shake off the control, because sin had been paid for, and that's where resurrection came. He was released from hell. But Satan is defeated. But he blinds people to that. And so we need to understand that we as the church are, we need to know who we are in Christ so that we can do what? Stand up to these evil forces and wickedness and confront it in the name of Jesus. And pull down these evil, wicked things. And so when prayer starts to go forth in a more focused manner, they're not going to like it. And there's going to be a pushback. And sometimes it will come against you personally. If sometimes it'll come to confuse your mind. Sometimes it'll come to make you just like, you know, do things that are not normal. But what? It's meant to disrupt. It's meant to do what? Discourage. And sometimes when these attacks come, it causes discouragement in people, and they forget who the one is that's creating the attack. And the discouragement is meant to do what? Get you out of faith. So that you don't confront it. That's why sometimes when I look at these writings and then I read the stories of Brother Hagin, when he said, I was in bed and death gripped my body. Man, I'll tell you, when I read that, I go, sometimes you just read right. And he said, I pulled the covers up and just laughed. And I thought, who in their natural mind, if death gripped your body, wouldn't be grabbing for 911? Makes you think. Because he laughed because he knew who he was in Christ, and he knew Satan was defeated. And he laughed at it. And he said, the devil said, what are you laughing at? I'm laughing at you. Now, am I advocating or saying you shouldn't call 911? No, I'm not. I'm saying he knew. He knew who he was. And when it comes to assignments that you've been given in prayer or in the body of Christ, you've got to know who you are in Christ, because when God begins to use you in a greater way, he's going to give us some assignments that are going to stir up darkness. And they're not going to want to let go. They're going to push back. But this church is going to go forward. This church is going to disrupt and pull down principalities and powers in the name of Jesus. And I'm going to tell you today, this has been stirring in my heart, but today, this one key thing, operating in the love of God, is going to be the key to this. It's going to be the key. You know, we're going to operate in faith, but faith is a direct result. Faith works by love. When you read about in the scriptures when Jesus talked about the centurion and the woman who was trying to get the crumbs off the table, he said, great faith. Well, if there was great faith, there had to be great love. So let's turn when we and open up here. We're going to go as far as we can here. But let's look at Romans chapter 5 and verses 1 through 5 in the New Living Translation. I'm going to read it from the New Living. I mean, verse 5, we know in verse 5, Romans 5 in the King James says, the love of God is what? Been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. But I want to look at this in the New Living Translation, and let's look at that from verse 1. It says, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into the place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice too when we do what? Run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us do what? Develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character. And character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. That word hope is expectation. And it says in verse 5, and this hope will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with love. I think it's, I wanted to read this. I wasn't even thinking about it, but just thinking right now about the testimonies of how much God loves us, there's no disappointment. None. We know how much he loves us, so we can rest in that. We can rest in his love. We can rest in the fact that he loves me. He cares for me. And I am not disappointed and shall not be. And that's what it says. And this hope, this expectation, I'm expecting God to work things out for me. And I think that's the point. We need to profess when it says, hold fast the profession of your faith, nothing wavering. Don't waver. For he is what? Faithful that promised. God is love and God is faithful that promised. I like this. I hope they have it up here. This is the Jordan translation. I love this. This is Romans 5:5. It says, for God has given us a love transfusion. I like this. God has given us a love transfusion. How? By the Holy Spirit, he provided us. So when it says the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts, he's infused into us his love. And he loves us. Glory to God. Now just continuing, we know John 3:16. For God what? So loved the world. That he did what? He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. A few familiar scriptures here. 1 John 4:7, beloved, let us love one another, for love, that's agape, is of God. And everyone that what? Loveth. So that word, love, is of God, that's a noun. But loveth is what? It's an action. Everyone that loveth, at that word, that Greek word is agapeo, it's an action. And if you go through and look at the difference between that, it's not just a noun, it's this here. Everyone that does what? Loveth is born of God and knoweth God. So you can't love with the God kind of love unless you've had a love transfusion. You can't. It's not possible. You have to be born again. You can't love this world with God working through you with his love. You can't do it. It's not possible. And it needs to be developed. If you've got your mind on things that are not lovely, then you're going to act just like the world does, even though we're saved. 1 John 3:14, in the King James, it says, we know that we have what? Passed from death unto life. Why? Because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Now, I want to take a moment. Let's take a look at John 15, verses 4 and 5 in the New Living Translation. And they'll put that up. You can follow along. It says in the New Living, verse 4 of John 15, it says, remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. You can look at this from the aspect of love. You can't bear fruit. You can't produce love fruit if you're separated or severed from him. It says, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Verse 5, yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce what? Much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Now let's look at verses 10, 11, and 12. Because I think this is a continuation here of the thought. Jesus speaking. When you do what? Obey my commandments. You do what? You remain in my love. So when you obey his commandments, you remain in my love. Just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. Isn't that interesting? Verse 11, I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. Verse 12, this is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. And again, we know in John 13, 34, 35, it says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you what? Love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Hallelujah. When he says, as I have loved you, it just means in the same way. In the same way he loved. Now I want to take a moment, and I want to read, and they'll put up the Amplified Classic, but I want us to look at verses 4 through 8 in the Amplified Classic. Follow along. I'm going to read another translation, a few translations of those verses, and I think it'll help us. You know, I've shared this, but I made a choice about 4 years ago. It was four years ago. And I made a decision then that I read, sometimes it's twice a day, but I read and listen to 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8. Actually, I listen to 1 through 13, but I do it every day. Now, there are a few times that I've missed it, but I do it every day because I made a decision to do it. I want to grow in the love of God to the point where I don't miss it. And I want my faith to be enlarged. And so if you're going to do that, your love needs to be enlarged. Now, are we there yet? No. Do we miss it? Yes. But the only way faith does what? Faith believes and expects to do something that is not seen yet. So you may be a piece of work. We all are to some degree. We all have different foibles and different things going on. But guess what? They can be removed and shaved off and continue to be shaved off to the point that you look and sound like Jesus. And the way we're going to do that is make that decision that you're going to feed upon 1 Corinthians 13. And I'm telling you, I'm noticing it after 4 years, things that pushed my button are less and less and less and less. You know, what it reminds me of, because I experienced this. When I got born again, I had a bad mouth. I've shared this. I had a four-letter vocabulary. I cursed like a sailor. I just did. Most of it wasn't learned from home. It was learned by going out and being around people. I worked construction after I got out of college. And I just being around people, you did. And the day I got born again, I got a brand new spirit. And I got home and I was working on my sports car. I had a brand new sports car and I was under there doing something. And I whacked my hand and normally I would have cursed. And nothing came out. And I put the wrench down and I said, "What happened to me?" That same kind of thing is happening to me now where the love of God is concerned. Little by little, by little. Little things. Things that would just really set me off. There's things that set you off. There are things that push buttons. And you know what they are. Something. But if you want that to change where that doesn't affect you anymore, you feed on the Word of God. To me, it's no different. Faith, we walk by faith and not by sight. I'm not going to walk by, well, this just seems like nothing's working. Yeah, it is. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God. And it will change you. From the inside out, it'll renew your mind. And this doesn't happen overnight. Growth, like natural growth, takes some time. But it takes a decision that I'm doing this. I'm going to follow God. I want more of Him. And the power of God is going to be in and through the love of God. You want to see more power in your life? You want to see more God manifested in your life? Walk more in the love of God. So let's just read verses 4 through 8 in the Amplified Classic. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy, is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way. It is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Love never fails, never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. As for prophecy, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose, it will be fulfilled and pass away. As for tongues, they will be destroyed and cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. It will lose its value and be superseded by truth. Now I'm going to read two more translations because they add a little more to this. This is the Hayford, you know, Jack Hayford just recently went to home to be with the Lord. This is the Hayford translation. Oh boy, I'll tell you, when you read this, sometimes you'd have to sit down and go, ooh, help me, Jesus. This says here, love suffers long, having patience with imperfect people. Ooh. You read that, you go, okay. Love is kind and active in doing good. Love does not envy, since it is non-possessive and non-competitive. It actually wants others to get ahead. Hence, it does not parade itself. Love has a self-effacing quality. It is not ostentatious. Love is not puffed up, treating others arrogantly. It does not behave rudely, but displays good manners and courtesy. Love does not seek its own, insisting on its own rights and demanding precedence. Rather, it is unselfish. Love is not provoked. It is not irritable or touchy, rough or hostile, but is graceful under pressure. Love thinks no evil. It does not keep an account of wrongs done to it. Instead, it erases resentments. You see how this is God erased everything against us in Christ. And he's telling us to operate in that kind of love. Erase resentments. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, finding satisfaction in the shortcomings of others and spreading an evil report. Rather, it rejoices in the truth, aggressively advertising the good. Love bears all things, defending and holding other people up. Love believes the best about others, credits them with good intentions, and is not suspicious. Love hopes all things, never giving up on people, but affirming their future. Love endures all things, persevering and remaining loyal to the end. And I'm going to read one more, because this is so good. This is Rick Renner's translation. Now, he's releasing it in stages. This is called the Renner Interpretive Version, or the IRIV version. Love patiently and passionately bears with others for as long as patience is needed. Love doesn't demand others to be like itself. Rather, it is so focused on the needs of others that it bends over backwards to become what others need it to be. Love is not ambitious, self-centered, or so consumed with itself that it never thinks of the needs or desires that others possess. Love doesn't go around talking about itself all the time, constantly exaggerating and embellishing the facts to make it look more important in the sight of others. Love does not behave in a prideful, arrogant, haughty, superior, snooty, snobbish, or clannish manner. That says, is that we fit in there somewhere. Love is not rude or discourteous. It is not careless or thoughtless, nor does it carry on in a fashion that would be considered insensitive to others. Love does not manipulate situations or scheme or devise methods that will twist situations to its own advantage. Love does not deliberately engage in actions or speak words that are so sharp they cause an ugly or violent response. Love does not deliberately keep records of wrongs or past mistakes. Love does not feel overjoyed when it sees an injustice done to someone else, but is elated, thrilled, ecstatic, and overjoyed with the truth. Love protects, shields, guards, covers, conceals, and safeguards people from exposure. Love strains forward with all its might to believe the very best in every situation. Love always expects and anticipates the best in others and the best for others. Love never quits, never surrenders, and never gives up. Love never disappoints, never fails, never lets anyone down. Glory to God. You feed on those, and it begins to change you, because the Word of God is the power of God, and it has the power to change us in those things that we can't change. You could try as hard as you can, but it won't work. You know, you say, I'm going to do this, and then something comes up, and you're just right back doing the same thing again. But it's the power of the Word that's consistently fed on, where you keep watering the seed, and you do what? You get a harvest. Let's look at the New Living Translation and the Message Translation of 1 Corinthians 14, just verse 1. The New Living, it says, let love be your highest goal, but you should also desire the special abilities the Spirit gives, especially the ability to prophesy. Now let's look at this in the Message Translation. Go after a life of love as if your life depended on it, because it does. Read that again. Go after a life of love as if your life depended upon it, because it does. Give yourself to the gifts God gives you. Most of all, try to proclaim his truth. So what is it? What is, should be our highest goal? Not faith, love. It's the greatest. This is something that Rick Renner shared. You know, in the King James, it says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts. But this was something that he wrote in Sparkling Gems. He said, follow after charity or agape love. He said, the word follow is the Greek word diokeo, which means to hotly pursue. He says, it was a hunting term that pictured a hunter following the tracks of an animal until he finally got his game. He was in hot pursuit of it. Follow after it. Pursue it. That's why some of the translations say, pursue it like your life depended upon it. He says here, this means that attaining this high level of love doesn't come easy. If we want to attain agape love and regularly walk in it, we must hotly pursue it. It must be the focus and aim of our lives, the love of God. And in him, we have that love shed abroad in our hearts. In the Amplified Classic, 1 Peter 4:8, says, above all things, have intense and unfailing love for one another. For love covers a multitude of sins, forgives and disregards the offenses of others. Now let's look at the New Living Translation, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 12. Love needs to be increased and developed. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 12 in the New Living. And may the Lord make your love for one another and for all people grow and overflow, just as our love for you overflows. So this cultivation, in other words, what are we saying? Love is something that we grow in, and it just doesn't happen. It needs to be what? Cultivated like a garden. You need to plant the seed. In other words, before you plant the seed, you need to prepare the ground. The soil needs to be prepared. The seeds need to be planted. Then it needs to be tended to. It needs to be watered. It needs to be weeded. You don't just plant the seeds and walk away. And it's the same thing with our love. It needs to be watered. It needs to be tended to. And so, as we do, we'll reap a harvest. Ephesians chapter 5 in the New Living. Ephesians 5 verse 1 and 2. It says, imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Verse 2. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. Live a life filled with love. This needs to be our pursuit to develop the love of God in us. Feed upon the Word of God. You know, if you can take, that's why I say, It takes me 5-6 minutes to read 1 Corinthians 13. You got 5 minutes. If you do it every day, every day, every day, every day, 365 days a year, I guarantee you it will change you. But you've got to make a decision. I want to know more of God. I want to be like Him. And I made that decision. I said, I want that. Now, here's something that Colossians chapter 3 and verse 14. Colossians 3, verse 14 in the New Living Translation. It says, above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. You see where the devil wants to get this all disrupted? Because when we don't operate in the love of God, then we are not in perfect harmony. This is the Living Bible. But let me read this. This is the Johnson paraphrase. It says, as the most important piece of new clothing, be sure to wear love, because love is the evidence of maturity. So make sure we wear this love. Put it on, because it's the evidence of maturity. Or you could say the lack of it is evidence of immaturity. The Living Bible, the TLB, or the Living Bible, of this verse, it says, most of all, let love guide your life. This is what got me. For then the whole church will stay together in perfect harmony. And that's something that we need to understand. This is what the devil fights. When you see all of the schisms and the stuff, and he goes after people's minds, and he tries to create schism between friendships and schism in anything. It's so that we are not in perfect harmony. This is another translation. It's the New Life Translation. It says, love holds everything and everybody together. Love holds everything and everybody together. And that's what the devil doesn't want. He does not want unity. And love is what binds us all together. And that's why when you want to go and you say, well, you know, so-and-so did this and so-and-so said that and they did this and they did that. Jesus told us, go back and read 1 Corinthians 13. And you will become and operate like me. And this is what he's requiring us to do. This is something that Kenneth E. Hagin shared. Brother Hagin shared his last sermon. He talked more. I know he came here in the 2000s. It was his last time here. He taught on the love of God. And he was teaching on it mostly before he left this earth. He said this, you need to read 1 Corinthians 13 every day. He went on to say that if you read 1 Corinthians 13 every day and walk in the God kind of love, he said that, and he said and that, put in parentheses here, he was prophesying this. Number one, you will find that sickness will flee away and your health will spring forth speedily. Number two, you will find that the devil that has been harassing you and tormenting you will flee from you. Number three, you will find that the provision and financial blessing that you've been believing for will come. So the Word of God has what? The power in it to produce what it says. And we just need to make a decision. If we're already doing that, wonderful. If you're doing it every now and then, make a commitment to do it consistently every single day. Now, you may get some pushback because the devil doesn't want us to do what? Grow in this area. And there may be opportunities where we miss it. But decide that I'm going to operate like Jesus. I'm going to walk in the love of God. And begin to feed on verses 4 through 8. And those areas where we need growth in, then keep feeding. Keep watering. Keep feeding. Keep watering. And it'll change. It'll change. It will change. Glory to God. And I just share that. Share these thoughts that in Him, we are complete in Him. But it needs to be developed. We have His nature in us, but those things in us where we want to grow more, you know, your home, or you could say, this is our home, this is a church home, or your home could have the atmosphere of heaven, can be like heaven on earth when we operate in the love of God. Maybe it's not there yet, but it can be. And maybe you say, well, it's good. It can be better. It can be such that people walk in and sense the presence of God. Because where love is manifested, God is manifested. And you can't tell me somebody can't walk in. I don't care if they are not born again. They come into a place where the presence of God, they sense it tangibly. It's going to affect people. And that's why the devil does not want churches to walk in the love of God, because when they do, the tangible presence of God is manifested. And he fights it. And he tries to just get us all out of sorts. Right? And we end up opening the door for him to come in. And I've made a choice. Nope. Yeah, if I miss it, I miss it. I clean it up. And I recognize, okay, I need to grow more in that area. I'm going to feed. It's just no different. If you got something going on in your body and it keeps hanging on, what do? You go. Sometimes you go to the doctor and he says, take this. You don't go, I don't believe that'll work. You believe him and you take the medicine. Well, Brother Hagin used to say, give me as much time as you give that doctor. He said, I'll get results every single time. If you put as much faith in that doctor and that medicine, he said, if you put that faith in the Word of God, it will change every single time. And it's no different. If we want to grow and expand and have a tangible presence of God, there has to be an increase in the love of God. It's not, hey, I'm right here with you. I'm saying, I want more of him. I want more of him. You know, we see, just look at what's going on. You look at what's going on a few of the college campuses. that tangible presence that's being manifested is because of what? They're seeking God and they're operating in love towards one another. And God is manifesting himself in those settings where people, you see, people on certain set and certain venues are saying, well, you know, I wanted to just go see what it was like, and I didn't go, I wasn't expecting anything, and they walk away boo-hooing because they walked in and they said the presence of God was so thick you could cut it with a knife. It's tangible. And I said, you can create that tangibility in any setting where the love of God dominates. That can be done here, in a church, it can be done in your home, but you've got to make a decision. The devil's not having his way here. He's not having his way. God is going to have his way. And that means me, to me, that means I have to do what? Humble myself. That means I have to humble myself and do what? Just like he said, be meek and lowly of heart. That means I have to make some decisions that I'm not going to have my way. Amen. Glory to God. Make you think. Praise God. Father, we thank you today for your word. Thank you for the power of the Word of God. Thank you for the shed blood of Jesus. And we thank you that in Him we have the love of God shed abroad in our hearts. We've had an infusion and a transfusion of eternal life, of the love of God. And we thank you that it's at work in me, working in me, affecting a change. Glory to God. Those are the kind of things you need to profess. Even when you don't see it in your life, even when you don't see it, and maybe you're acting ornery, you begin to say, you know, it's no different than healing. We're taking the word of God, and we do what? We call those things that what? Be not as though they were. We begin to say, my body is healed. And then people say, sure don't look like it. And that's when you say, the love of God is working in me. Somebody might say, yeah, right. I don't see that. But the only way the power of God is going to be released is that you believe it and it's working in you, even when you don't see it. That's what Brother Hagin said. He said, you've got to say it and believe it, even when you don't feel like it. You've got to love people even when you don't feel like it. And that's the adjustment. That's the change. That's the piece where we have to say, you know what, I'm going to love that person. And maybe it's hard the first few times. Maybe it's hard. But as we do, as we yield to the Word of God, the power of God goes into operation and helps us love, as it said, unlovely people and impatient people. Because I can't do it in my own strength. I need God's power working in me to love. That's why I hate all of this stuff. You know, when you think about it, there was a translation. I'm not going to read it now. But hate, the seed of that, when you look at it, it said there is no, I forget what translation I read it in. But you start to look at the hatred that's inserted between ethnicities, nationalities, and people begin to take sides. It's division. It's divisive. And there's no love in it, and the devil's behind it. And we need to, at all costs, I'm not going to pick that up and take that. I'm not going to feed on that junk. Because there's no love in it. None. Yeah, people did bad things to people. But if you want to feed on that instead of the Word of God, it will never change. And you keep watering a hurt. You keep watering an injustice. Didn't say it didn't happen, but God wants to raise up a body of people that does not hold resentment. He wants the body of Christ to rise up and walk in the power of the love of God. Does everybody understand that? Yes, I can't relate to certain things in society because I'm not that of that ethnic group. But I can tell you I can relate to the Word of God. And maybe there's some other thing that has happened that makes it very difficult for me to love. Every one of us, the flesh, what does the scripture say? It says, walk in the Spirit, Galatians, so that you don't do what? Fulfill the lusts of the flesh. That's all this is. So if you keep feeding on certain things, you'll lean to the flesh. And you won't live out of the power of love coming out of your spirit. Because the soul and the flesh will go, we're not doing that. We want to say such and such. We want to post something. We want to get our say in. But the love of God will say, shut up, we're not doing that. I'm going to walk in the love of God. And that's where it goes. Because when we walk in the love of God, it keeps everything and everybody joined together. That's what the scripture says, not what some human said. He said, walk in the love of God so that it does what? It creates perfect harmony. It keeps the church, the body of Christ, bound together. Hallelujah. Now, it's not popular, but we've got to make a decision, first as individuals, that I'm doing this. Because the devil, remember I go back to what I said at the beginning? The devil has been allowed to reign through certain, you know, what we call the media, government, schools, different things. He's been allowed to reign because of hate and no love. And the more people feed on that kind of stuff, feeding on hate-filled words through music you listen to, books you read, TV shows you watch, stuff that's being taught in schools, trash that's coming out of the government to separate people, is junk right from the pit of hell. And the more we make a decision personally, I'm not doing that. I'm going to walk in the love of God. I want God's presence in my life such that it's tangible and has an impact. You can just imagine if the church begins to embrace that, the devil literally has no place in it. It will be heaven on earth. That can happen in a home, that can happen in a church, that can happen in a city. Oh yes, absolutely. And this is why he fights it such, because he knows God is love. He is love. Tell you, glory to God. Hallelujah. Brother Hagin say, can't say hallelujah, say oh me. Hallelujah. Goes for me. Praise God. Well, before we unhook, I know we shared a lot. But make a decision. Go back and feed upon these scriptures. Go back and read them. And feed upon them. Make a decision. You know, everybody wants more of God, but, you know, it's like Olympians. Everybody wants to be an Olympic athlete. They just don't want to pay the price. Everybody wants to be slim and trim, but they don't want to pay the price. And it's the same thing where the things of God are concerned. We all want God's best, but there's a cost in that. You have to put down, what does it say in the scripture? It says, put on, and there's put off. So we need to put on his nature and let it work in us. Glory to God. Well, before we unhook, if you're here today or you're watching online and you never asked Jesus to come into your heart, he loves us, and God sent his son to die for us and shed his blood. He became sin for us that what? We might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. Something that we could never have done. He took our place. And he took the punishment and the judgment for us. So we owe him our lives. So if you're here today and you never made that profession, and you believe that Jesus is the Savior and he's the Christ, and if you confess that and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, Scripture says that you'll be saved. You'll be born again, and you'll receive instantly his nature. And the love of God will be shed abroad in your heart. So let's say this simple prayer. Father God, I believe that you sent Jesus to this earth in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. I believe that Jesus took my sins and he was buried in hell and he became sin. And when sin was paid for, he was released and raised from the dead. I now receive you, Jesus, as my Savior. I thank you that you've cleansed me with the blood of Jesus. I received your eternal life, and I thank you that I'm saved. Now, if you said that and made that profession of salvation, just let us know that you did, and we'll send you some free information. If you did so today, we'll give you that before you leave, and we'll share who you've become in Christ, what happened to you. And praise God. Amen. Praise God.